Sacred containers. Last week, we talked about sacred containers. Talked about a specific story from 2 Kings. We shared the story of a widowed woman who was instructed by the prophet Elisha to pour out what little oil she had into every possible container she could come up with. Every container. And the miracle in the story was that the oil didn't stop flowing, even though it should have been out. It seemed like she had barely anything, but it kept flowing and flowing. The oil from one jar filled container after container after container with precious oil, enough so that she could sell it off, save her family, her sons, from going into slavery. Pretty powerful stuff. We heard about how God gives us what we need and so much more. But we took that a step further. We asked, what if these sacred containers we hear about are more than just pots and pans and vessels and Tupperware? What if it's us? What if we are sacred containers of God's goodness? Because there surely are and were examples of people in the Bible, in the scriptures, being containers of God's goodness in the world, of being sacred containers. In fact, I think when we hear our scriptures today, there's something to that in them. And I think that's what it might mean in some ways to be a disciple. So I want us to continue on our thought about being a sacred container today of God's goodness, because I think it might be a helpful way for us to get into thinking about discipleship and maybe how we might, in a difficult time in history, be invited to think about the other people who are different than us. So let's talk about that this morning. Life is like a box of chocolates. That's right. Valentine's Day right around the corner. I went to Kmart back in October and they already had Valentine's Day stuff up. Our Old Testament lesson this morning we heard Doris read happens to come from Jonah. You may remember the story of Jonah, maybe from Sunday school. It's a part of popular culture. We hear about Jonah. He is the prophet, the guy who gets swallowed up by the whale. Actually, in Hebrew, it's a dog gadol. A dog gadol, and that means big fish. So we're not talking a whale, some sort of big fish. Whatever the case happens to be, he gets swallowed up by this fish and then spit out by this fish. And then he is called to preach a really hard message. We hear he goes to this huge city, Nineveh, that is a 3 days walk across. It's just showing us how big it is. And Nineveh is a great city. Giant city. But Nineveh in the Bible is often described as sin city. Sin city. Like Las Vegas or Chicago, I think. You know, maybe two. Anyways, Nineveh, for whatever reason in the Bible, is considered a particularly bad place. You know, we hear God say that it is a great city, but I think that speaks to the kind of God that we all have. Even though we might fall far from the tree, there may be redemption in each of us. But Nineveh is considered Sin City, and Jonah is ready for the people to basically not listen to what God has sent him out to say, for his message to fall on deaf ears. He's practically written these Ninevite people off as a lost cause, but he follows the call. He goes and he preaches a very hard message to a great city, Sin City. He says, repent, repent, repent. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is shuv, shuv. And what does shuv mean? It means turn around, stop right where you are, turn around, change your way, follow God, shuv, turn. And what happens in this great city that is Sin City, that is a huge city that he's written off as a lost cause? Jonah, the guy who gets spit up out of a fish, becomes the most successful prophet in the Bible. He somehow converts this giant city. Everybody changes their ways. In fact, when you break down the words, everybody means everybody. Even the animals change their ways. Now, I've heard of naughty cats and dogs and things like that, but the animals were involved in the sinfulness of the city. And even the animals wore sackcloths and repented. We have this sweater for our dog Cooper that we put on in the winter, and I have a feeling that that is almost like torture for the animals. He looks like a sausage link when he's wearing that thing, and he doesn't like it. But we hear that the animals are wearing sackcloths in this story. Jonah, I think, is a sacred container of God's goodness. He has a message within him, and he brings a new way to a great city, the Sin City, a huge city that is set in its ways, that everybody has considered a lost cause. Other prophets would probably say, "No way, Jose. No, I'm not going." But he goes after having a rough start to his journey, preaches a message, and even that lost cause city isn't lost. Even the animals find repentance. And they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, so to speak. Our New Testament lesson from Mark, we hear, I think, about new ways of being a sacred container as well. But we hear about it in a very different context. We hear about Jesus, not someone being contained in the belly of a fish and spit out, but we hear about fishermen down at the docks scooping up fish in their nets. Fishermen, that's the context, down at the docks. It begins by telling us Jesus came to Galilee. And at this time, Galilee is under control by the Romans. And they don't like Jesus very much. The very first line that Doris read tells us that John the Baptist was arrested for doing what Jesus is about to do. So these are dangerous times where Jesus is preaching a message. And he goes down to the docks and he preaches the message. To the fishermen, he says, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe in the good news." And he passes by two sets of brothers, Simon and Andrew, James and John. And he calls out to them to have them follow him, to leave their nets, and to leave their families behind. Like Jonah, Jesus' sermon has incredible power. The brothers stopped what they were doing immediately, we hear, and they followed him. Jesus is the sacred container of God's goodness in that story, teaching them an alternative way to live in a world that is dangerous. Galilee, again I say, was controlled by Rome. These brothers would have been living under this foreign occupying power, and probably for most of it, of their lives. They knew no other way than having to live under the thumb of Rome. They knew the Romans would treat them as second-class citizens. They knew that although they answered to God, they answered to the emperor. They knew that the Romans controlled the sea routes that gave them their money. They lived steeped in the economy that bought up that fish and used that fish. Even the coins had the emperor's face on them. You can't get away. On top of that, they were fishermen. These weren't rocket scientists. That was their skill set, fishing and mending nets. They were working poor, rough around the exterior, not particularly educated or enchanting individuals. That was their world. But Jesus shows up in this dangerous world that they're living in and shows them another way. Jesus sees that there's something deeper in all of them. He sees in them potential for that which is beyond the surface. He says, "Follow me." And in doing so, creates a new community, a new family, a new world for them. One in which they wouldn't be crusty guys down by the dock, fishers of trout and walleye, halibut, but fishers of people. By calling these two sets of brothers, He calls everyday, regular, working folks to live and dream in this world differently, a world that they didn't think could be different. Jesus is a sacred container for God's goodness to these brothers, the ones that knew no other way. The one they once cast nets for fish, now they themselves become containers of God's blessing for other people. I think this is important for each of us to hear, because in our baptisms, we're set on a path toward discipleship. No matter if you are 1 month or if you are 100 years old, we are named and claimed as God's own disciples, called to be sacred containers of God's goodness in the world, to shine a light in the darkness. You remember the movie Forrest Gump? Yeah? Up until a couple months ago, I was Lieutenant Dan in the Air Force. Now I'm Captain Stark. Has a better ring to it, I think, you know. I like that a little bit better. Forrest Gump is a Tom Hanks movie about this simple guy named Forrest. Forrest lived in Savannah, Georgia, I believe, and loved his mama and a girl named Jenny. The story kind of chronicles his life adventures. It was this iconic 90s film. And if you've seen it, the scene, which kind of pops up throughout the movie, just a different person on the bench with him every time, it's probably running through your head. And what does he say about this box of chocolates? He says, "Hello, my name's Forrest, Forrest Gump. Do you want a chocolate? Mama always said life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." He has these wise lines from his mama. I think mamas have a lot of wise lines. Yeah. Grandmas, too. And great-grandmas. And church moms. But he always has these one-liners from his mama, and I couldn't help but think of that line as I read our scripture today from the gospel. Because this movie has a lot to do with destiny and fate and chaos and chance and stuff like that. That's the box of chocolates. But I think there's something more to those darn chocolates. They are containers. Chocolates are containers, aren't they? Yeah, they contain something. They contain deliciousness. Unless they have that little coffee bean in them, then they're just gross. Nobody likes that. You know? But honestly, chocolates are containers. There's potential for surprises in them. And each of us, when you think about it, we have great potential in us, and we're all different, just like those chocolates that sit in a box of chocolates. Chocolates are a sacred container, and I think they might inspire us to think about other human beings differently. If we are to see others, the other, as a sacred container of God's goodness, it might change the way that we view one another out there in the world. And we live in a time when that's really challenging. Thinking of other people as sacred vessels, containers, what have you. Bowls to fill up and bowls to overflow with that sacred oil. I'm not a prophet. I can't make people or animals repent or put on sackcloths. I can barely get that sweater on my dog. I'm not a great preacher. I can't get people to drop what they're doing to follow me. And I don't want your family to drop what they're doing to follow me. That's Jesus. I want to talk and have a Jesus moment with you. And this is hard. I was really disturbed by what I heard the president allegedly say about people from other countries. I don't want to be political, but I want to be a Christian right now. It bothered me because these comments came on the anniversary of the Haitian earthquake that claimed the lives of one of my friends. He was a seminary student at the same time that I was. He was there doing mission work, and he was killed in the earthquake. He found those folks as sacred containers worthy of going and taking care of, even though they might not be able to fill up our bowl in any way. It is hard. But I think the scripture last week that we heard from John actually spoke to those alleged comments. And I think there's really something powerful to what the disciples said last week, if you might remember the scripture. They said, before they knew Jesus, "Nazareth, can anything good come from that place? Nazareth, can anything good come from that trash heap? Can anything good come from that waste pile?" Everybody knew in his day that Nazareth was a challenging, rough place that you didn't want to be at. Everybody thought of it as that way. How are you to hear that anything good can come out of there? The first disciples had made up their mind that nothing good could come from that place. But what came from that place? Jesus did. Jesus, somehow, against all the odds, a sacred container for the light of the world itself, came from that heap. The greatest gift of humanity came from Nazareth. Jonah tells us that against all odds, it is possible to be a sacred container of God's word. He had the deck stacked against him, and he went into a very rough place, and those folks turned around. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus can call a bunch of crusty fishermen who knew no other way to be sacred containers of God's goodness, to be disciples. And I think the baptism that you helped my family celebrate today teaches us that all of us can be containers for the sacred, for the good. Small or big, no matter where you come from. Thank you for helping me baptize Elliot. It is my hope and my prayer that we might think about people around the world differently. Those who might look or sound or love, those who might talk or vote or whatever differently, that we might think of them like a box of chocolates or like a geode. On the outside, we might think all folks kind of look the same or are the same or there isn't much to behold. But within, there might be something spectacular. Because if we can be sacred containers of the goodness for God, others certainly can be too. Amen? Amen.